Well, we love Jesus. That's the whole idea. And this morning, I can't think of anything more important than loving the Lord. And having the Lord to have His way with you and I. Do you really want the Lord to have His way? Come on now. Do you really want the Lord to have His way? Oh my, if the Lord had His way, you'd be shocked. Oh, at His goodness, wouldn't you? I wonder, will God ever have a people that will just wholeheartedly believe Him? You didn't respond to that. I thought everybody would say, amen, praise the Lord. We're going to believe the Lord. You want me to say it again? You want me to help you along a little bit? Will the Lord ever have a people that will really believe Him? Well, I'm not sure you know how to respond to that at all. Hallelujah. I want to do that once more. Do you think the Lord will ever have a people that will really believe Him? Why, sure He's going to have a people that will really believe Him. Why, that ought to be you. You ought to be that people that really believe the Lord. Why, every one of us ought to really believe Him with all that's within us. Hallelujah. Well, there's one thing you can do. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's believe. It doesn't cost you a dime to believe. Amen? You don't even have to give an offering to believe, do you? Well, just believe. That's it. Believe what God has said. Praise the Lord. Well, let's be very thankful this morning then that God is certainly telling us what He'll do. Isn't He? God must believe. Why? He must believe that what He said He was going to do, He's going to do. Do you believe that? Why, sure. And I'll tell you something. I believe God's going to do everything that God said He's going to do. I don't have any trouble to believe that, do you? Why, certainly, saints. Sometimes people really do have a little difficulty even to believing that God will do what God said He'll do. Listen, God's not a man, is He? He can't lie, and if He said He's going to do something, He's going to do what He said. Rest assured. Rest assured He knows how. Hallelujah. He has the power, the ability. He has the mind to do it. He has the will to do it. Certainly this morning, let's hold fast all that the Lord has said to us. Well, have you been talking to God lately? Has He been talking to you at all lately? Has He been giving you anything encouraging lately? Well, I mean, we should be listening to the Lord. And I don't know, what would life be like if you went and you went before the Lord and you sought the Lord carefully and He never talked to you? He never encouraged you. He never let you know. One thing I know about the Lord, He made this kind of declaration to us. You know, the Lord wouldn't do nothing except He reveal it to His servants, the prophets. Oh my, the Bible is filled with those things which God said He would do. And how do we know He revealed them to His servants, the prophets? And the Scripture's filled with those things. And what He said He'd do, my God said generations and generations and generations before it would happen, so that nobody could say that He just up and talked about something because it was there. He spoke hundreds of years in advance and left it lay there. Everybody could handle that. Everybody could get a little taste of that and say, hey, this is what He said. Now, we're just going to have to watch and see. Will the day come? Will the day come when the virgin will conceive and bring forth a child? Oh my, did it come? Well, sure, but look at how long it laid there in the Scripture. Way back in Isaiah's day, there it was. There was the promise. But then the day came when the child was born and Jesus came into the world. Thank God this morning. Can you say amen to that? Well, all the promises are like that. They're there. They're written. But God gave lots of time to let everybody know. So there was no mistaking. It wasn't just a coincidence. He said it would happen. And boy, it happened. Well, thank God this morning. That's the way things happen with the Lord. He starts right early telling you all about it. And then He just brings those things to pass which He said. I don't know. I can't figure out in my little mind And I think in this case, I want to say my mind is little to figure this out. One thing is hard to figure out is the foreknowledge of God. And God told us events that would happen, my, centuries before they would happen. And then when they happened, well, we would have to say, only God would know this. Oh, many things. Well, let's praise the Lord this morning. And let's take courage in our hearts that all that God said He'd do, He said He would certainly do. He'd fulfill. And He said all that He promised to us. Oh, He's given us a lot of promises, hasn't He? Somebody said, promises, promises, promises. God's always making another promise. Is that it? He's always, yes, but remember the ones He fulfills. But remember deep in your heart, all that God promised He will fulfill. So I'm glad to be in a church where the Lord is up and active and still promising things. Glad to be in a church where the Lord can still speak. My, somebody said God is dead, but we sure don't believe it around here, do we? Is He dead? No, God's not dead. He's very much alive. And I'll tell you, He's still seated on His throne. And I'll tell you, He's still working great and mighty things. Let's believe that this morning with all our heart. Now let's be encouraged in our heart this morning to take to heart all that God has said to us. Now think about all that God has said. Boy, He has said a lot. He has said a mouthful, you would say. Oh, the things that God has assured my heart, making me to understand, making me to know what He said He was certainly going to do. Oh, but I thank God for all those things. Now, I don't mind living on the promises. Do you? As long as they're the promises of God. Now, you could make me a lot of promises and I could wonder about them. Will they ever be fulfilled? I mean, you could promise me $1,000 a year for my birthday from the rest of my life. And could I count on it? Could I buy my bread and butter on it? I'd say, boy, I don't know. But you see, the Lord makes promises. And remember, every promise the Lord makes, the Lord remembers. Does God forget a promise? Does He ever slip up? Does He ever fail? You don't believe He ever fails? Boy, you're sure rating God pretty high, aren't you? Then you do believe Him. Then you do believe Him from your heart. Then you are a people that will believe God. Is that the idea? Well, that's what I was wanting to hear from you in the beginning. We got to believe, though. There's one thing that honors God. It really honors God. When God speaks, and you take it to heart and believe it, first of all, it just goes as a little evidence and proof that you really know Him and that when He speaks, you really believe Him and that you take it that He'll certainly do it because He's there. Now, you know He's there, don't you? You haven't seen Him, but you know He's there. You have read the Word and you have found out from the Scripture, you know, all those things were stated. You believe them. Well, let's hold fast this morning then in our hearts. There's a lot to believe. We've got to believe. And I tell you, God is looking to move, but He's always going to move with people who believe Him. The Bible is filled with those kind of people. You know, story after story of people who did believe God. Did David believe God when he went after that old giant? Did he believe Him? You think David was afraid maybe God wouldn't be there? Do you think that David somehow believed that maybe his God was only a fairy tale they had told? It was only the story that some of the elders had mentioned and hashed over? Or do you think that David really believed that? I tell you, when a man will lay down his life and put his life on the line, it's going to surely show he does believe God. He went out there and believing God in the name of the Lord, and you know what happened? And old Goliath hit the dust, didn't he? Well, he believed God. Now, the Bible is always going to point to you the stories of people who took to heart what God said and believed. Did Gideon believe God? I mean, did he believe God when he whittled his army down? The army wasn't big enough to begin with. And he whittled it down to 300 men, and he was going out there to face an overwhelming multitude of people, and his armies whittled down to 300. My, I'll tell you, when he told all those, you know, to go home that went home, and when he told all those that was afraid to go out and fight anyways to go home, and they all went home, when all was said and done, there was 300 left. Do you believe Gideon really believed God could deliver Israel with those 300 men? Well, sure, he believed God, didn't he? Oh, it took a little while for his faith to get up there. I'll tell you, it always takes God a little while to get somebody's faith up there where they'll believe. You know, Gideon just needed that last little something. Maybe this morning what we really need is that last little something that's going to make us leap over the wall. Well, Gideon needed that. So God says, now Gideon, if you need just a little more, I want you to slip out and slip down there to the edge of the camp where you can hear the talking that's going on over there. And boy, I'll tell you, when he got over there and he listened a little to what they were saying and he realized how terrified the adversary really was of him. Oh, and when he heard, you know, that they were having this going through the camp, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, my, and everybody in that camp was shaking and trembling. Boy, Gideon had just that little something he needed to put him on over in his faith and really clinch it right there. Oh, he left the edge of that camp and he went back that night, you know, and he went with that assurance in his heart, God would surely deliver the children of Israel out of those Midianites' hands. And did God deliver? My, 300 men? Why, my lands, what would you do with what they had? A horn? How many people did you ever shoot with a horn? Did you ever shoot anybody with a horn? My land. Did you ever shoot anybody with a pitcher? With a lamp? I mean, these are weapons of God's arsenal. Hallelujah. Why, they're going out there with 300 men. Nay, I don't think anybody seemed to even have a sword. Except the Lord, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And there they were out there with that little something Gideon gleaned by going down there and listening to about this little story about this little cake rolling in the camp. Oh my, now, you know, when they went out there to battle then, I tell you, there was faith in the camp. Did God ever have a people that would believe? Listen, God didn't put himself to the laborious labor of getting 10,000 or 20,000 people around to believe. God just whittled a crowd down to 300 and got them to believe. And with those 300, God would go out and fight the battle for them. Now, you see, they needed a little something. Maybe this morning, maybe you just need a little something to put your faith over the top. Maybe you're just having a little difficulty to believe all that you've heard God say. Are you having a little difficulty? What do you need to put you over the top here? Oh, we sometimes have to have something, don't we? Oh, God's people have to get encouraged. Well, you know, the doubter said, seeing is believing. I'll believe it just as soon as I see it. Boy, I'll tell you, you're sure slow of heart to talk that way. I'll believe it when I see it. No, thank God, it's not quite that way. When you believe it, you'll see it. Can you say amen? Oh, my, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Is that true? Oh, somebody said, well, when I see it, I'll believe it. Well, that's the kind of thing they say down in Missouri. You show me. Isn't that the thing that the apostle Thomas had said, you know? Oh, I'm not going to believe except... Except what? Except I see the nail prints right in his hand. I'm not going to believe that he's risen. Boy, now, I'll tell you, that's kind of a hard note, isn't it? I'm just setting my heart. I'm not going to believe until I see it. Oh, my, I'm not a personal disciple of Thomas when he is doubting. No, I'm not going to follow that. That's not the right way. Thomas, yes, I guess he was the doubter's apostle, all right. And all you that may be a doubter, you ought to listen to him. He certainly found out and proved it out and found out the way that everybody think they ought to. But I tell you, when Jesus was in the crowd again and Thomas was there, the Lord knew Thomas had that battle. Remember, the Lord chose Thomas. Did you hear me now? The Lord knew what Thomas was like. The Lord knew he was going to have some real assurance. Yes, but then the Lord knew just how to take care of all the Thomases too. Well, we want to look at that this morning and say it like it was. And Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples and he saw Thomas over there, and boy, that was the first order of the business. Let's straighten this guy out. Well, Thomas, what are we going to do for you this morning? Going to straighten Thomas right out. Got to get his head straightened out here a bit. Got to get his faith right there intact. Oh, it seemed a little hard for Thomas to believe that somebody could really be dead and raised himself. That seemed maybe too much. He saw Jesus raise others from the dead. But now, to raise himself from the dead was another question. Couldn't quite grasp that. Others had seen the Lord, and Thomas hadn't. But he made up his mind he wouldn't believe until he saw those nail prints. Now, I just look at Thomas in the midst of his trouble, and I see him in that situation now, and the Lord called him over there and said, "Now, Thomas, take a look." And Thomas looked at his hands, and Thomas looked at his feet, and Thomas looked at the mark in his side. The Lord commanded Thomas, "Now, hey, put your finger in there. Put your hand in there." And boy, I'll tell you, old Thomas come out of that with what we would say one of the greatest believing expressions anybody ever made. When Thomas saw the nail prints and the living Jesus who had risen from the dead, Thomas could only say, "My Lord and my God." Wow, boy, did he get convinced in a hurry. The question is, what will it take to convince you? You see, Thomas needed that extra little push. He needed that something to push him right on over there fully into the believing group. And I'll tell you, Thomas got that extra little push that morning, didn't he? Did he get that extra little push? Oh, God is faithful to give us what we really need. And I want you to understand deep in your heart this morning, God knows our needs. So let's hold fast. Maybe somebody around here just needs that extra little push. Maybe God's got to do something to push you on over there into that believing column. Oh, I'm believing God. Well, He certainly has shown in the Scripture over the generations that He knew what it took to get someone's faith really loosed and someone's faith to really believe. Oh my, there's doubters everywhere. You know, it's not hard to find a doubter. You find them everywhere. The world is full of doubters, isn't it? It's not a strange thing to find a doubter around. The strange thing will be to find a lot of believers. Folks who really believe from the depths of their heart. And folks who can grasp onto and believe all that God has said. Oh, that's what honors God this morning. Now, I want you to remember that. God is looking for people who don't have to see, but believe. So Thomas had to have something. But then the Lord used the occasion to address a lot of others. And He said, "Blessed are they that believe, though they don't see." Is that you? You have to see to believe? Blessed are they that believe, though they don't see. Oh my, I have never saw the nail prints, have you? But I sure believe they're there in His hands. I sure believe they're there. Don't you believe that? Well, you see, blessed are they that don't have to see in order to believe. Well, Thomas did have to see, it seemed. But once he saw, something happened. And then, boy, did he become a real, ardent believer. And I thank God for Thomas's faith. Yes, especially You know, not that little faith he had to begin with, but that great faith that came because Jesus touched him. I thank God for Gideon's faith when the Lord really showed him what to do. Thank God for all those illustrations. They just teach me how I ought to respond. Oh, what does God have to do to make a believer out of you? Well, do you need something? I'm asking you now. Do you need something to help you to really firmly believe all that God promised us? Oh my, sometimes that's what it takes. Somebody said, as soon as I see it, then I'll believe it. Oh, but blessed are the folks who are believing it and haven't seen it yet. Oh, that's the one that God's going to have to, you know, really give a little extra blessing to, is they've hung on and they've believed and they've stood fast and they haven't doubted God and they've been believing promise after promise after promise God has made. Oh, blessed are that crowd, you know. That's the crowd that really will make it. But then, blessed are they that finally come to light and understanding and say, oh God, I see what you said is really true. I see, Lord, you're really doing what you promised. Oh, it's better to be come along, Johnny, come lately than not come at all. Can you say amen? But oh, I'm looking this morning with that determination in my heart, looking and looking at you and saying what I said to you, God is always looking for a people who will believe Him. Though they haven't seen anything yet, as they would say, I'm believing. Well, thank God for all those rich promises. Boy, I appreciate promises this morning. Sometimes we sing this song. I don't know as we sang it this morning. But every promise in the book is whose? Is it really yours? Every promise in the book is yours. Everyone, huh? You really believe that, man? Listen, none of the promises in the book are yours unless you're willing to what? Claim them. Believe them. Oh, they're there, they're for believers, those promises. And all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. And they're yea and they're amen. And which promise is the one that has the big no in capital letters right in the middle of it? Is there any promises with a no connected with them? God said, I'm going to promise you this, but the answer is no before you even ask. It isn't like that, is it? The promises are yes, and the promises are amen. So be it. Now, there's where the promises are. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they're yes and they're amen. And church, I'm sure glad to be able to claim promises. Now, I've learned over the years that this Christian walk is living in a promised land. Talk about children of Israel going to a promised land. When I got saved, I went to a promised land too. My, this is a land of promise. We live on the promises. I mean, everything about us is, right down to it, is all based on promises. And are claiming those promises. You live then and dwell in a land of promise? This is a land of promise, this walk of faith. Oh, thank God this morning for the faith that God gave us. Now, I'm glad too this morning that you can develop your faith. And it takes time to develop your faith. Now, some folks don't work on that a lot. They don't ever think that their faith will ever amount to a hill of beans. You think your faith will ever amount to anything? You see, you got to see that faith is faith, and God dealt a measure of it to every man. Did He deal a measure of faith to you? Well, now, the Scripture said He dealt a measure of faith to everyone. Oh, I'm glad He gave you faith then. I'm glad He dealt the measure to you. What are you doing with that measure? Now, don't tell me you don't have it. If God dealt it to every man, then you're an every man, aren't you? God gave it to people, and you're a people. Praise the Lord. Well, He gave it to individuals, and you're an individual. So God dealt to every man the measure of faith. He did that. And I want you to know this morning that Romans 12 wasn't kidding us when He told us that He dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, we ought to take that measure, and we ought to use it. And you know, I've learned it over the years. It's surely been taught to me that if I took that faith and I used it, it would always multiply. Faith never diminishes. When you put your faith to the test, your faith will always grow. Faith doesn't shrink. Faith doesn't have an old age problem. Faith is there, you know, and with age, faith gets greater, not lesser. A lot of things get lesser when you get older. I mean, you get less hair and less a few other things. You know how folks go. But listen, when it comes to faith, faith flourishes. And blessed are those folks who up in years have had a lot of experience. Know what faith's all about. Know what it's like to march by faith, go through it by faith, live out of the hand of God, learn how to trust the Lord. Surely it takes time. But then you should be growing in your faith. This morning, you need something, surely many times, to help your faith grow. You just need answers to those great things you ask the Lord. You need answers. And every time you get an answer, you ought to take that answer and praise God and thank God and let your faith just kind of bathe itself in that. In that promise fulfilled that God heard you and answered you and let your faith take off and grow. And every time God does something for you, he ought to encourage you to go back with a lot of praise and thanksgiving on the way. Thanking God and praising God for what you know he did for you. Showing heaven that you know this wasn't a coincidence that I got this. I asked God for this. This didn't happen all those days I wasn't asking God. As soon as I started asking God, suddenly it appeared. My, that's an answer to prayer, isn't it? Some folks believe in God and others believe in coincidences. Well, I just happened to pray and, well, it just happened to come. Oh, my. Look at those things which God has did for you. I'm concerned about your faith this morning. Concerned about your faith blossoming and coming up. And oh, that the Holy Ghost quicken your faith. That the Holy Ghost would challenge your faith. You like challenges? You like adventures? Listen, a faith walk is an adventure. Don't forget it. You look at the patriarchs of faith in the Bible and you see they were on an adventure. Life was not dull and boring to them. Life consisted of getting up in the morning, trusting God, believing God. Believing God would bless the day. Believing God would lead the way. You look back and you can see surely that's the way it was. This is an adventure. This is a challenge to believe God. My saints, this life would certainly get to be boring. We could easily get to the realm where we sang three little songs on Sunday morning, had a little prayer and a few minutes of message, and send you home for dinner. We could get to that. That's where a lot of folks are. This Christian walk isn't any more than that to them. It's not real like to them. Oh, I don't want that. Why, get back to that kind of a way? Why, thank God. I want your faith to be a challenge to you. Oh, could God challenge your faith? You know, that's one of the things you got to know in your heart. You know, hard trials always challenge your faith, don't they? You know, the challenge is there when this happens to you. This never happened to most of you, I'm sure. You're way up above this now. You've gone way past what I'm going to talk about. You've graduated. You got a degree in it. You know what I mean? You never had one of those trials of your faith where you seriously debated turning back. Come on now. You never had a trial where you just really was ready to abandon ship. You was just about ready to jump off the ship. Wasn't even going to wait till they got the gangplank down. You were going to jump right over. Oh my, you were ready to give up. And the Holy Ghost grabbed you by the seat of the pants and said, "Hey, where are you going? Come on, get in here. Put a little fight up." And he wouldn't let you go. And he pulled you back and he dealt with you. Sent the pastor after you. Got somebody on your case. Sent a brother over to your house. Did something to turn you around so you wouldn't give up the ship. You know, there's little trials. You can give up the ship. Hey, listen, we got aboard this ship to stay. This is home. Well, I know what ship life is like. I've been on the ship. Bless God, it's home. It's not a place you want to get off and jump off anywhere. My land, you don't have a place to sleep tonight. And I sure don't want to sleep out there floating. You know what I mean? You just don't jump ship out there. Well, we need to understand the depths of our soul this morning. You're getting those trials. They're a challenge to your faith. Are you going to hold on? Are you going to hold in there? Are you going to continue to believe with all your heart? Now, I saw a lot of folks jump ship then. Oh, I know there's a lot of Christians this morning, or a lot of people, I'd say they're like soldiers who are AWOL. They're away without leave. The Holy Ghost didn't send them. He'd never send them into the mess they went into. Can you say amen? Oh, man, you're not away without leave, are you ever? Oh, well, I get one of my down settings, and boy, I can go for weeks and not go to church. You don't have that problem. Listen, remember, the Holy Ghost is our strength. And the faith challenges are there. We just got to all learn that we stand right up to our challenges and we can say amen to the Lord and say, Lord, as far as I'm concerned, you're going to keep me. Lord, you're going to keep me in the midst of this. And Lord, I'm getting more determined than ever. I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, faith is an adventure. And oh, there's so many challenges to your faith. If your life is dull, you ought to go into ministry. You ought to go into ministry. Boy, you ought to get right into it with both feet. And you find out that life is not dull at all. Life, as a preacher, can be so challenging. There's a lot of things that are just beyond your grasp. And boy, to get a hold of them, you've got to get a hold of God. But hey, that's life. That's the challenge. I found a lot of those along the way. Well, this morning I'm saying to you, the challenge of your faith. You need challenge in your faith. Your faith is never going to really mature until you get a few of those challenges. Now, if your faith is matured this morning, and it's really radiant in your heart, well, I suppose you could look back and say, yeah, it's really been tried the whole way through. And it's not always been what you'd call easy. Has it always been real easy? Oh, God knows how to let you right out there on your own and let you believe. And watch to see you squirm. Sometimes when people have a faith challenge, they really squirm. You talk about the old fish on the hook. You squirmed a few times too when you had a battle, haven't you? Yes. Oh, what'll I do? You wring your hands in despair. And you walk the floor and you wring your hands and say, oh God, I don't know what, I don't know what, I don't know what, I don't know what, I don't know what. And the old broken record goes on, I don't know what to do. Lord, show me what to do, I don't know what to do. Oh God, help me, I don't know what to do. You know, I learned a long time ago, if I face a situation where I don't know what to do, I know now what to do. Don't do nothing. Hold right there. Stand fast. Can you say amen? If God isn't telling me to move, I'm going to hold still. If God isn't telling me to go, then I'm going to stay. And I'm not always expecting that every day God's going to tell me to go somewhere. You got to learn along the journey. You got to hold still. And some folks say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Listen, if you don't know what to do, then what are you trying to do something for? Why do something you don't know what to do? My, that's the worst thing you can do. I mean, you can do anything. You can run out there in front of a truck when you don't know what to do. But listen, in our hearts, let's respond to God in our faith. If we don't know what to do, let's hold still. We're doing what we ought to do, no doubt as it is. But the devil likes to run. He'll always try to tag the fire to your heels and tell you, you'd do better if you was in Chicago. You'd do better if you was over there in that other church. Or you'd do better if you did this, and you'd do better if you did that. Listen, you tell that devil he's a liar, and I'm not going nowhere, and I'm not going to do nothing that Jesus didn't tell me to do. We say amen. So everybody got to face one of those times when the devil comes along, and he lights a torch, and he puts it on your feet, and he says, boy, if you don't start moving them feet, you're going to get burned. And he'll try to get you to run to keep your feet cool. Ah, cool them heels, will you? Let the devil do that to you. Listen, God is good. And you know, I'm kind of sometimes wondering about some folks. This amazes me. You know, about the time when God is really doing something, that's the time they jump up and run. Almost like the devil said, hey, God's going to move mighty, the fire of God's going to fall, you better jump up and run away or you'll get some of it. Oh, hallelujah, the saints this morning, let's hold our feet right still. Let's keep right on this rock. Hey, this is a rock you stand on. Let's stand with Jesus. But I've seen that devil so many times get people edgy. And the next thing they know, they're like the cattle. They're like the sheep in the pasture. They're always looking over and they're saying, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Well, the grass is much greener over on that other hill. At a distance, it probably looks better. Oh, my. You know, I've seen people stand in grass then like it was 3 feet high, and they're in it, and they're saying, well, I don't know what to eat. Hey, we're sheep, and He taught us that He was our shepherd, and He would lead us by the still waters, didn't He? And oh, my, He'd make us to lay down in green pastures. Hallelujah. But you see, the pasture always looks greener over there. Well, I guess I'll go over. Well, is that the popular thing for me to do? Just go over there. The grass looks greener over there. You think I should run? I can hardly wait to get church over this morning. I want to run. Oh, my. Did you ever think that maybe some of the people over there were looking over here and saying, boy, the grass is greener over there. Oh. Yes, His pasture is always green for us. Wonderful Savior. Thank God for His Word this morning. His Word is rich. His Word is full. His Word is complete. But God is looking at His people. His eye sizes them up every day. He looks at His people from the vantage point of looking right at the hearts. And you know, He knows who believes Him. Come on now, He knows whose faith is high. You know that now. He looks at you and, my, as He looks at your heart and sees the reins of your heart there, He likes to take up those reins and take a check once in a while. Can He lead you? The devil always tries to lead you. You know how the devil leads? He's a driver. He'll put you through a trial and drive you down the road. Can you say amen? He'll tell you a whole bad story about how bad everything is, and then he'll run you down the road. Hey, that's his way. But God leads us. God leads you. He likes to get a hold of the reins of your heart where it proves not only to God, but to you, you know, that He has control in your heart. And God simply wants control inside. You'll respond because you respond to His Holy Spirit. Oh, that's good when you can respond. And He's there and He's tugging away at your heart and He sees you just moving right on down that road where He's leading you, right where He's tugging at your heart. He finds that you just respond. You see, He's leading you then. He'll lead you in, He'll lead you out. He'll lead you up and He'll lead you down. He'll lead you out into the work of God. He'll lead you in ways, you know, where your life will certainly be blessed and prosperous. But all of us have to realize in our heart, God has to get in and get a hold of the reins of our heart. But then you just try to take some mules and put the old halter on, you know what I mean, and try to get a hold of the reins of that old mule and try to lead them down the road, yeah? Well, when you think about the reins of the heart, that's typifying to us this, like the reins on the horse. Anybody can make a horse, you know, with a rein. Make a horse do most anything. Somebody said, with that old bit in your mouth, you would too. But God don't put a bit in your mouth. He just takes a hold of the reins of the heart. Now, I don't know what the reins of the heart is like. I never saw any reins on anybody's heart. Did you? All I know is when the Lord really wants to get a hold and lead you, He begins to deal with you and take a hold of the reins of your heart. Now, He's got to get a hold of those reins in your heart. And then you've got to respond to that. Boy, that's not easy. Until you get really yielded, dedicated, submitted to the Lord. The Lord's going to be everything to you, and you're going to just give your life to be everything to Him, and your love is going to flourish, and the Spirit's going to flow into you and through you, huh? And the next thing you know, God has got control. Oh, does He have control this morning? Well, now does He? Well, you said He did. Does He? Well, I sure hope He does. I hope He has control of every one of us. Can I have that kind of assurance? Not unless He gives it to me. That's not easy to get everybody's faith up there. It's not easy to get everybody up there just really walking in the Spirit. Come on now. You know to walk in the Spirit, don't you? Hey, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're also supposed to live in the Spirit. Hey, this is our whole realm. This is our whole walk. This is the whole thing that God has called us to do. We got to live here, walk here, dwell here. Hey, this is a life in the Spirit of God. So this morning, let's hold fast. Let's press in. Let's hold fast. Hey, we want God to richly have His way. What about those promises, though? Is He going to keep those promises? I said, is He going to keep those promises? I said, is He going to keep those promises? Is He going to keep all of those promises? Well, that's what you've got to see in your heart. Boy, that's where faith's eye gets the sleepers out, huh? Oh, God, open my eyes. I got to see here. Get these crumpy sleepers out of here, Lord. I want to get my eyes open. God, I want to see. Lord, what I'm really looking, I want to see the glory. When the glory falls, I want to be there. I don't want to be down the road somewhere. I don't want to be off on a bench somewhere. Can you see me in? Oh, no. I want to be there. When the glory falls, I want to be there. Well, now, this morning, we've got the purpose deep in our hearts that those promises are so very important to us. Without Him, we'd have no direction. Remember, those promises are a direction to us. It's not only God saying He's going to do something, but that's God's direction. Hey, I'm going to lead you this way. And these are the things that you'll see me do along the way. All the mileposts along the way are those things that God said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Now, if anybody ever had God really deal with them, really expound to them His promises, not only the promises out of the book, but the promises of the Holy Ghost to us, boy, we've had it. We've had it. Boy, we've had a lot of that, haven't we? Boy, we've had some great promises. All the prophets have been prophesying God will do what He said. Can you say amen? Oh, you've heard this. Wasn't it that way in the days? You know, when Ezra and Nehemiah was doing the thing that God called them to do, and boy, I'll tell you, old Nehemiah sure appreciated the prophets. And boy, those prophets like Zechariah and Haggai, boy, they were right in there while those men were working. And I'll tell you, they were having church all the whole way. And those old prophets kept right on prophesying, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Oh, those mighty things. Hey, they were just being promised. And promised and promised, and God was giving them more promises. But then you look back at the record, and I'll tell you what God promised, God did. Boy, restoration came, and boy, things got good again, didn't it? Oh, the old temple got built, and the worship got going again. And you know, they started really building the city walls, and they were all built up again. Everything was set, and the gates were hung, and boy, the old gates were swinging open in the morning and shut at night, you know what I mean, to keep the adversary out. All of the great things that were done, but it was all done with inspiration. Somebody got a message from God. Thank God for men like Ezra and like Nehemiah. You know what I mean? Boy, they heard from God. Boy, God inspired them and they inspired others. And boy, when you got that whole program together, what a mighty outpouring of God really came. And all their adversaries were saying, oh, those feeble Jews, why, if they build anything, my fox would go up and knock it down. And all those troublemakers were there. And you know the devil is making trouble every day. wasn't he? Oh, he tried to do things to discourage the people. Tried to get them to stop the work. Tried to get them to forget about that revival God promised. Oh, trying to get them discouraged where they wouldn't stand for that promise. Now listen, today we've got to stand too, don't we? So we're in the same place. God wants a last day revival, doesn't he? Does he want a last day revival? Surely I want you to know God wants a last day revival, and God's going to have one. God's going to bring it just like he said he'd do. He's going to do. I want you to get a hold of that. Just what the Lord promised is what the Lord is going to do. Listen, I don't look for more nor less. I look for what God said, and I look that God will fulfill his word to the letter. Can you say amen? Oh, and if God fulfills his word to the letter, he said a lot, hasn't he? All those promises of God. And then there's those promises that God gave me that I haven't gave you yet. Oh, I like those promises. I stand on those. What God said he'd do, I want you to know this morning God is going to do. Now, we've got to lay a hold here. And God is looking for a faith. Remember, Friday night, we were around the altar here and the Holy Ghost spoke out there while we were up around the altar here, and he reminded us about something that he had told us. What was that? Pardon? My, now. We all forgot that. Did he talk to us and bring back to us one thing he had told us? We were going to still have to give revival what? A major effort. I don't think some of you know what that means. Could I explain that a little bit better here? I mean, you think about a major effort. Well, now, let's just try to think about it now in the light of something we'd understand. If you got the vision this morning to take all this property around Everett Square and build a 92-story skyscraper, would you have to give that kind of a major effort? You could handle that? You think that'd keep you up nights? I mean, do you think you'd have a full day every day? Oh, my, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, this got to be done, that's got to be done. Somebody said, boy, I can't do all this, I better hire 10 people today and tomorrow, I better hire 100, and the next thing you know, you got everybody around the country working for you. It would take what? It would take a major effort. Why? Because it's a major job. It's a big project, in other words. Now, listen, supposing we decide now that we're going to have this project and somebody's going to build a teepee in the parking lot across the street. Oh, boy, what a big job. What a major effort. We've got to get 4 or 5 poles and stick them up there and tie them together. And we got to get some old skins and we got to stretch them over that. And might leave a little room for the smoke to go up the chimney. I mean, out through the top. And boy, in about 2 hours, we'll have this whole thing built. Somebody said, that's not much of a major effort. Well, when God speaks that he's telling us in advance, hey, I'm going to move, and I'm going to move so greatly that if you don't get into it and get yourself prepared and put a major effort into it, my, he's going to run right over you. Or he's going to have to run off and leave you. My, it's going to require of us a major effort. And that's something that don't seem to get a hold. Come on now. You believe it? A major effort. Now, I think about an effort. Now, how could it be that God would tell us that revival would require a major effort of us? Why, somebody said, I thought God was going to do the work. Well, if God's going to do the work, what are we going to do? Somebody said, all we're going to have to do is come to the song service and take up the offering. God's going to do the rest. Is that it? What about a major effort? If the Holy Ghost sees that the revival is in the situation as he is planning to bring and knows what it's going to require of us And what it will require of God's people then, and is forewarning us and telling us, listen, when God breaks out, you can't stop it. It's not going to wait for you to get ready. I mean, the waiting period is already gone by. And some of us are still waiting, I don't know what for. We're not really wanting to give a major effort. Well, we want God to move. And I tell you this morning, I know God's going to move. Oh, praise the Lord. And I tell you, once it really happens, you'll understand what God meant. And you'll understand why He said it. But one thing I'd like you to do this morning, I'd like you to get that in your little old noodle and let that get soaked into your little head. You know what I mean? And let it get in your mind and down into your heart. God, you're telling me something. Lord, I don't understand it, but God, I'm willing. How about that now? I'm willing this morning. Lord, I'm willing to be the vessel you want me to be. But oh God, I realize that I won't get too far if I stay home and don't get out to church. Oh, come on now, preacher. You're picking on me now. Hey, listen, when revival comes, are you going to stay home? I mean, with God moving, you're going to just stay home. I'm not going out there to see all those miracles. Did you notice I got quiet when I said that? You know full well you're not going to stay home when God's doing things like that. Is that the idea? Well, that should be. Although I would dare say that some folks wouldn't see that that's anything quite worth an extra trip for that extra service. You know what I mean? Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Preacher, don't bear down on me like that. Boy, I'm going to be right in there. Brother Daly, you can count on me. Brother Daly, you can count on me. Boy, you can count on me. I'll be with you through the thick and through the thin. You know what I mean? Sure. And just as soon as things get a little rough, you know how it is, some folks are going to thin out on me. You know what I mean? Oh, that's the way it happens many times. Oh, but listen, it's not me. I'm not the one that told you that it would require a major effort of you. I just told you what God told me. Listen, that wasn't my idea. You didn't hear that because I thought that would be a good idea. That didn't come born up of me. That came in the night. You know, that came to me in prayer. That came with a promise. Oh, yes. And I want you to think about that. That's not my words. I didn't make that up. That didn't come because I coined a phrase and said, hey, we got to give this a major effort. That was the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? Who said it? Well, the Holy Ghost said that to me. Well, surely I recognize it would take a major effort on my part. But then what about your part? It's a major effort part for me and it's an easy street part for you. Is that it? Church, this morning, let's get our minds oriented. You want God to work. You better just really show God that you really mean that. And you best be willing to give a major effort.